all hoping that 2021 wouldn't be as terribly twisted as 2020. But in the first week of the new year, we got rumors that Kanye West is dating Jeffree Star. Azalea Banks boils her cat. Armie Hammer is into cannibalism. Gays over COVID. Trump's second impeachment. And Republicans invade the Capitol to overthrow democracy.
Did you just say Armie Hammer is into cannibalism?
Oh, yeah.
And you thought the intimate scene with a peach and Call Me By Your Name was too much? Today, we're back with a vengeance to take a look at the truly twisted, outrageous news that happened over the winter break.
Plus, Wonder Woman's WTF 1984.
Republican Colorado Congressman Ken Buck asks, why is Madonna not being impeached?
America falls in love all over again with lesbian curmudgeon Fran Lebowitz.
Sex and the City gets a reboot, minus Kim Cattrall.
Happy birthday to the last surviving Golden Girl, Betty White. She turned 99.
And farewell to Joanne Rogers, the wife of Mr. Rogers, joined her husband in the land of make-believe. She was 92.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hey, Armie Hammer, are you a cannibal or what?
Yeah,
we want to know.
Well, we know he likes to eat ass, but that doesn't make you a cannibal if you like to eat ass.
Well, you know, how is he eating it? Is it like well done? Is it barbecued? Is it filleted?
We don't know. So I guess there was these rumors that are out and about because some of his ex-girlfriends or allegedly ex-girlfriends mm-hmm. are posting screenshots of conversations they had. And he's like, oh, I love you so much. I'm coming out as a cannibal. I want to eat you up.
I want to drink your blood. You're so sexy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I mean, if you are hot enough to hold yourself toe-to-toe with Armie Hammer mm-hmm. and that peach
yes,
and Timothy Chalamet. I mean, if you wanted a sequel to Call Me By Your Name, this is it, you know, going to the dark side.
Mm. But people are saying, like, he's come out and said, all this is bullshit, though, right?
He said that it's not true.
And everybody was so excited because they all got hot and bothered, like, ooh, he's Armie Hammer is sexy again.
And Rice is like, oh, goody. We can write another sequel to The Vampire Lestat. But no, it's what's happening is Armie Hammer is having a bitter divorce proceedings with his wife. And possibly some gossip blogs are saying that Armie Hammer is being targeted by his wife's lawyers as leverage in a bitter custody battle.
So they're trying
battle.
To make him seem as though he was some kind of crazy pervert.
Yeah, well, you know.
And they're like, I can't have the kids around him. He'll eat them.
So
you know, they're like a little snack.
I don't know. I was looking at photos of Armie Hammer trying to do some album art, and I was like, you know, in terms of like sexy Hollywood hunks, he's not in my top five.
No.
You know, like I would say Henry Cavill would be there.
He's in the top. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's probably in the top 20.
Yeah. Like
he reminds me of kind of like a younger Brendan Fraser back in the day.
He's before kind of like, the problems he had in his life. You know?
Well, you know, when he was younger, when he was 20, 30 years old, he was a very handsome young man. Armie Hammer's around that same kind of level, I would say.
Yeah, you know, and it's like Michael B. Jordan. He's like a sex symbol. Like, so there's people out there who'd be like, if Michael B. Jordan said, eat me, you'd be like, you know, seasoning themselves like Bugs Bunny in a cauldron, you know?
I'd be sticking butter in places.
Yeah. Lather me up, baby.
Having myself be eaten by somebody, no matter how attractive they are, is not appealing. It's like, I like all my body parts, my fingers, my toes, everything. I like all that. I want to keep all of it.
But we've, you know, throughout the years of doing this podcast, we've run across like news of, you know, actual cannibals that people have met on dating or hookup sites for the purposeful idea of being murdered by another person, but also being consumed.
Mm-hmm. Well, one guy willingly gave his penis to another man for him to eat it.
Yuli
cooked it up. And I would think, you know, I mean, a penis is fun to play with and everything like that, but to actually to like eat it and digest it, I'm thinking it's probably not the best piece of meat.
No, I don't even want to conceive of it. I don't want to imagine it, you know?
You know, when you look...
That's not something on Omaha Steaks I want to order.
Well, there's a lot of collagen in there, right? So it's not like, you know, you have like a rich buttery meat, right? It's basically like your sinewies and stuff, and then a lot of, what do you call it? Erectile tissue. It's not flavorful or delicious, I would imagine.
Hey, Mark, the show's called Feast of Fun. It's not NPR's you know, serial killer podcast.
Well, have you ever seen like a penis that's had like all the cells taken off of it? It's like a tree.
I don't want to see. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like a tree. And they've done the same kind of thing with hearts. Like they've taken like all the cells off the heart. So the only thing that's left is the collagen stuff that's holding it together. And it's just like, it's really interesting. It's almost like a beautiful sculpture in a way.
Well, they have that at the Body Worlds exhibit.
I didn't go to it.
I
didn't go to it. I didn't kind of want to, because I knew I would kind of like gross me out. Oh, right?
But you love talking about it, though. No, so for people who don't know what the Body Worlds exhibit is, this artist worked with people who donated their bodies, not to science, but to art, and had their bodies turned into plastic through a very complicated process to allow people to marvel and to really fully understand the meaning and the depths of the complicated human body. Mm-hmm. And so there, in the exhibit, there are all kinds of marvels, like, layers of a person's body sliced.
Yeah.
So you can see like the different changes in the body. A ballerina's lungs, who are black from years of smoking.
Ballerinas love to smoke cigarettes.
And you an aborted fetus, plasticized, like all kinds of really controversial, outrageous things, you know. And so the security at these exhibits is really high. And
higher than at the Capitol, I would imagine.
Yeah, the Capitol building. So, you know, we ended the year with a bang. We had our incredibly strange Christmas music. How many years we've been doing that for?
Well, I think
it's
our 11th episode. And this, you know, hey, Fauster, congratulations. This is the start of our 17th season here on Feast of Fun.
Oh my God, we started don't this tell me that.
We started this podcast, in February of 2005.
February 8, 2005. Yes. Yeah.
And so we consider when we come back from our Christmas break is the start of our new season. So this 17. Is our 17th season. So we've completed 16 years.
So now we're legal. Yeah.
We are legal. In the state of Illinois, legal.
In the state of Illinois, we're legal.
Yeah.
When I was 17, I had a very good year. I had a very good year when I was 17. Oh, my God. I just was
seen
hoping
a lot of changes, that's for sure.
That 2021 would not be as so outrageous as and so difficult and challenging as 2020. But, you know, like, we came back from vacation. I looked at the internet and said, oh, please don't be bad news. Please don't be bad news. And it was like, Kanye is fucking Jeffree Star. Azalea Banks boiled her dead cat.
Oh.
Armie Hammer's of cannibalism. Trump gets impeached again. And Captain Caveman invades the Capitol building.
It's wild.
What's the name of the...
Well, we knew that like it would pop. We knew that Trump was not going to go out quietly for the most part. We knew that things were going to be weird. We knew that he was trying to agitate people and to rev people up and to get them, you know, basically to... He wanted a revolution. He wanted to stay in power. He wanted to act as though this election was stolen from him, even though he probably realizes it wasn't stolen. But for them, they feel like something being stolen from them is people of color getting the opportunity to vote in a free election.
Yes.
And so to them, that's thievery.
And I think, you know, Americans are not at their best right now.
No.
That we are very weary of living in a pandemic and living under a fascist tyrant. And we nearly escaped losing democracy in this past election. And right now, Democrats, starting January 20th, are going to be in control of everything, which is amazing, except the judicial. So, you know, we started the year with the scandal where gays were in Puerto Vallarta having this circuit party. And some Rue girls, Shangela, Miss Vanjie, Silky Nutmeg Ganache, were all caught maskless, partying the night away, you know, and people are like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, because right now we've got the pandemic and you're not supposed to be gathering. But people are just like, you know what? We are going to have this party in Puerto Vallarta anyway. We're going to go down there. And so, of course, there was outrage across the internet and people are just like, who's going there? Let's expose all these circuit party boys. Because first of all, people don't like circuit party boys to begin with.
Why do people not like circuit parties?
Well, because a lot of time they're shirtless, they have good bodies, and so they're going to be like, I hate them. But
you're
rich,
you're good looking, you have drugs, alcohol, and you're getting laid, and you're on vacation half of the year.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Exactly. And so that's part of the reason. So people, like, they don't like them to begin with, and then they're just like, and you're going to do this during a pandemic? What's happening?
And part of it is, you know, somebody who is wanting to be on vacation for half of the year. Hey, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But someone who's able to successfully do it, either through going into debt or because they have the funds to do so, doesn't tend to be the most socially conscious person to begin with.
Well, and also, too, we saw last year they had, you know, they insisted on, at the start of the pandemic, people were just like, hey, we're going to have this party. And people are like, you shouldn't have this party. And like, we're going to go. And it ended up people going to this party, I think it was the white party in Florida or something like that. And people got sick and some people died from it. Mm-hmm. And there was one guy who was a nurse and he went down there and he was just like, oh my God, I thought I wasn't going to make it. And I got sick. And a friend of his put up a GoFundMe for him and raised $20,000 for him to help him, like, with his medical expenses and stuff like that. And guess what?
He died.
No, he didn't die. Oh. He went to Puerto Vallarta. After all, so this went down like in February,
so
January.
So he technically crowdfunded his vacation to Puerto Vallarta.
Well, this is
because he
the
kept
thing.
That money, right?
So he got sick, right? Yeah. And his friend set up the GoFundMe for him. Yeah. People were like, well, you had this GoFundMe. He's like, well, it wasn't really my friend set it up for me. But obviously,
did he get the money or not?
Most likely, right?
Yeah, probably.
And so then he's just like post to his Instagram, like, you know, 3 weeks to Puerto Vallarta. And people were like, oh, no, you don't. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure of whether he went or not, but it was, he probably did. But, you know, and so, you know, and it became this.
I was chatting with some people that actually went to Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just happened to be on vacation. I didn't realize there was a circuit party happening and that we were not supposed to be traveling. And I'm like, and guess what this guy does when he gets back? He catches COVID from Puerto Vallarta. Big surprise. And
did he go to the circuit party?
Yes. He just happened to be there. So I was like, well, why not go?
Well, why not go?
And I'm just like, you know, and this person is in a medical field. And I'm like, you know, trying to remain calm. I'm trying to be as, you know, life affirming and guiding him to an alternate plane of thinking, but part of me is just like, you, or what's wrong with this country, you jerk? And I'm just like, listen, what would Mr. Rogers do? Mr. Rogers would say, you know, I'm glad that you're safe. I'm glad that you had this opportunity to learn from this situation. I hope that this is a teachable moment for you. And moving forward, that you might, you know, think about the well-being of others, because likely you're not going to die from COVID. But you may have spread that to some people with compromised immune systems who may be not well because of the consequence of what you decided to do for your vacation.
Well, I think the big highlight, too, of the whole thing, too, is they had a pontoon boat, like, out on the water, you know, for the circuit party. And it went down. It, like, started to capsize.
The rich irony.
And so then everybody's, like, ending up in the water, and you're just, like, so it's not only, so you see these people, in some ways, they get their comeuppance, so you get to laugh at them.
I should have made other decisions.
And they had this,
better,
you know,
decisions.
And so people are just, like, the gays on the internet are not having it, because they call themselves the gays over COVID. Like, we're over COVID, you know? And so the people are trying to identify, like, who these people are and what happened, like, who they are, where they live, so they can be called out on it. And then the people who had the party in response, were like, we want to know who the person who's outing us on Instagram is. And we're going to give $500 if we can find out who the identity of this person is. So it became like, who's going to out who? And people are just like, nobody's going to, for $500, my lunch costs $500.
Come on, Nancy Drews, get to the bottom of it. Oh, wait a minute. One of them was Angela. Mm-hmm. The person who coined the phrase Nancy Drews.
Oh, okay.
Is the one who was, she was on the boat, wasn't she?
I don't know if she was on the boat, but she was there.
She was there, and there's this video footage of
apparently
Miss Vanjie and Silky Nutmeg Ganache, Chicago's very own. Mm-hmm. They're on a dance floor. The dance floor is full of people without any masks, and there's somebody with a camera catches them drinking and having a good time and knows that this is going to be a huge scandal. So when the camera is pointing at them, they look at the camera with fear in their eyes, like, this is going to be a trouble for me. And so Silky Nutmeg Ganache kind of hides behind her drink like a vampire. Like,
don't look at me.
Don't look at me. I will turn into dust if you film me having fun in the middle of a pandemic. And I'm just like, listen, you know, Miss Vanjie and Silky Nutmeg Ganache are not the pillars of intellectual strength. And that's, I think,
you
the problem.
They're going to make wise decisions they're when not it comes making to their own wise, health.
They didn't make wise decisions on RuPaul's Drag Race. Why would they make wise decisions in life? You know, that's part of the reason we love them is because they are imperfect, flawed figures. But during the pandemic, it's been difficult because, you know, even us doing this podcast, like, we've had some guests who are just like, I'm not going to get any vaccines and, blah, 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 and spreading all this misinformation. And I was just like, at the end of the year, I was so exhausted just having to manage not only a lot of people's mental health issues, but also their desire to come on the podcast and fight with people or spread profound misinformation. And, you know, what I think was a kind of a big relief was that Republican insurrectionists, seditionists, stormed the Capitol, broke in, and suddenly all that just kind of, and just like that, Sex and the City gets a reboot. Just like that, our collective terror of being this, you know, both sidesism, this ambiguity with our Republicans as terrible and evil as they say, as we have been saying they are. Now people are like, yeah, they
now,
are.
Now, you know,
after 5 dead people from their attack on the U.S. Capitol. So to me, it's like Miss Vanjie and Silky and Shangela are probably very relieved.
They're like, ooh, thank God they stormed that Capitol and forgot about me.
And, you know,
gays over COVID is now like gays looking for sedition.
Well, now gays over COVID are all turning their attention on Captain Caveman. What's the name of the guy with the
Joey
horns?
Joey Angeli or something.
Joe
like
Angeli,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now some people are mad. They don't want us to talk about him. They don't want to have memes
Jake
about
Angeli,
him.
Jake Angeli, yeah.
They don't want memes about him because they feel as though it's just like, we don't want to give this guy any kind of attention.
Well, he's so outrageous. And, you know, of course, you've seen pictures of this guy who looks like he got plucked out of Burning Man and stuck in this suit and tie, redneck, truck driving, monster truck rally of, you know, violence in the Capitol building. And, you know, in his drag, he looks cute. Like, out of his drag, he looks terrible. So in a lot of ways, you know, I'm mad about it.
He's got a bald head, right? And he's kind of like a funny
he looks,
shape.
He
or
looks
something.
Like an awkward person, like yeah. a like a somebody who's struggling with you know, drug addiction, who's showing up to an audition for a coffee commercial. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm just going to be weird and they're going to cast me because I'm weird. And he says he's like, you know, he's into organic foods. He's like a transdimensional shaman traveler. And I thought it was really interesting how he can be attracted to all this like progressive culture of like, you know, Burning Man and shamanism and Native American culture. And at the same time, reject the progressive politics of that culture he's fascinated with.
Well, you know, part of it gets a little kind of complicated here, right? Because so what's Trump's motto is like, it's like make America great again. So it gives this romantic idea of what the past is. And when you look at this kind of like his outfit is, you know, he's dressed like an American Indian kind of shaman is part of his costume, right? I mean, he's got a lot of Viking tattoos and some white power tattoos kind of things, but he's got, you know, like the buffalo horns and the hair, and he styles himself a shaman. So he wants to kind of like hearken to that American idea of like spirituality and one with nature and that kind of thing. So he's kind of capitalizing on this in the same way that Trump's capitalizing on the make America, bringing back what it was before. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, even though he's a shaman, he's actually probably quite regressive.
Yeah, and that's why I stopped early on in the Trump administration of trying to describe people as Republican or Democrats, but as regressives or progressives. Mm. And meaning like somebody who's really interested in punishing other people and controlling other people, who's very worried about the outcome of things, who, you know, I think like a common thread with all these Republicans is that they're worried about something that hasn't happened yet into the future.
Yeah.
They're projecting onto somebody else the behavior that they've been doing onto others. And so there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of violence. And, you know, like, I hope that people out there can, you know, find ways to uplift themselves, because in a lot of ways, we've had like 9/11s of violent videos every single day this past year, and it just continues. And so it's affecting like our mental wellness, and affecting our mood. You know, so for me, like hearing about Armie Hammer liking it really rough and being a cannibal, to me was like kind of like a delight, because I was like, well, finally, like something that, you know, that's so ridiculous, funny and crazy and ridiculous.
Or even just like the idea of Kanye West dating Jeffree Star. You're just like, what?
Yeah, like Jeffree Star saying that that's not true.
Well, it started from somebody on TikTok kind of started that rumor, and it just kind of blew up.
Well, because, you know, and we heard from somebody that Kanye West was interested romantically in Amanda Lepore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows what's going on with those people, you know?
Right.
It's like, I mean, if you watch Kanye West, Kanye West doesn't know what Kanye West wants. Mm. You know, so it's kind of like Kanye West is all over the place.
He certainly struggles, right?
Yeah, he's struggling with mental health issues, you know, and that's what this year has been. It's like people who are struggling are being targeted one way or another, and it's pushing people over the edge. So for me, it's like I'm like trying to find things that like lighten my spirit, lift my heart up.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was like tuning in to watch Wonder Woman 1984
on Christmas Day,
I was like, thank you, Santa Claus. You know, something, forget about our troubles. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like, you know, aerobics Wonder Woman with Linda Carter.
It'll be camp.
It'll have like that wonderful Charles Fox theme, Wonder Woman. Instead, we got Wonder Woman versus Trump. And like the whole premise of it is like humanity is greedy and selfish. And if you gave humanity the ability to make a wish, they would all want to kill each other and be evil and destroy the world.
They all just want power. And like, where are the people who want world peace?
And that's the thing. Yeah. Like,
where are the people that want everybody to eat, have food?
Think about it. This, it's like some guy on TV makes it possible to, that's the premise of the film.
You wish on something, you can wish on something and the wish comes true, but it's like the monkey's paw. You pay a price for it, right?
I guess, but
well, yeah,
you know,
that's the whole idea. Is you
but
pay
in
a
the
price.
Monkey's paw,
you give up what's most important to you.
In the monkey's paw, there's an unexpected consequence. So, like, there's this like story of a genie. The genie visits a man who has a tiny dick, and the guy's like, oh, "I wish my penis was bigger." And the genie's like, "Well, okay, young man, I will grant your wish. What?" And he's like, yeah, I want my dick to touch the floor. And so the next day the guy wakes up and his feet are really short. And I'm like, okay, let's this is Wonder Woman 1984 logic. The man asked the genie for a bigger dick. The genie just heard whatever he wanted to hear and fucked him up, you know, didn't give him what he wanted, just punished the guy for desiring things. And that's what I feel like rich people in Hollywood have this idea on the rest of Americans. They're like, we want to punish you for wanting to be happy because we're secretly miserable. And so when we make a movie that is trying to illuminate the human condition of desire, we don't understand what desire is because we have all the money, we have all the power, we have all the resources in the world. We can do anything, literally, like, you know, Hollywood to this point can generate the Mandalorian out of thin air with CGI. Like, it's so good that literally the only limits is their imagination, their ability to write compelling scripts and characters. And so when Hollywood is making this movie that's about desire and wishes, all they just think is like, yeah, humanity just wants like power and fucking and money and tits and, you know, power. Cars and
more power
and more power. And I'm just like, oh my God, you guys don't get it wrong. You got it completely wrong. I think the better way of thinking about desire, and one movie that's really good about it, is The Incredible Mr. Limpet, starring Don Knotts.
What? I haven't seen that movie in 30 years.
Do you remember that movie? So Don Knotts,
I was a child.
Don Knotts and his buddy are sailors on vacation. And for some crazy reason, Don Knotts is brokenhearted or something. And he's looking at the water and he sings a song, I Wish I Were a Fish. And I guess fate grants him his wish. And he becomes this fish and he helps to end World War II by trying to use, what are those called? The missiles that submarines shoot?
Torpedoes.
Torpedoes, using his body to deflect the torpedoes and point them at German and Japanese boats. And to me, it's such a ridiculous premise, but, you know, in the movie, like, Don Knotts has to reckon with the fact that he got his wish come true and it came with unexpected consequences and he became very lonely. He gets a fishy wife.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the fish, literally. Thanks for being fishy to the fish, Don Knotts. And so, you know, I think like even like Rick and Morty, who had an episode where, you know, Rick battles the devil and develops a machine that takes away the unintentional consequences. Like
the devil had a store and everything he sold, yes, had a curse on it.
So like a guy buys a Viagra that makes him impotent. And so Rick and Morty takes out the impotency of the Viagra and just turns him to a sex machine. And so it's this kind of idea that like Hollywood sometimes doesn't understand the nature of desire. And to me, it's like seeing Wonder Woman like invading the Capitol to fight the president really reminded me a lot of the insurrectionists. And I'm just like, is Wonder Woman the villain here? Because she like, and we could get into a whole podcast about this. Like she
and
wishes.
Our friend Brian Sweeney wants to come on and talk about it. So we'll save some stuff for that. But
you know, basically Wonder Woman wants to her dead ex-boyfriend to come back to life. And he comes back to life in the body of another man. And then she forces herself, she has sex with her boyfriend in the body of another man.
But see, that's the thing. It's like when you wish upon this little jar and you want, she's like, I want Steve back in my life. So she gets Steve back in her life.
Yeah.
But it takes from her the things that are most important from her. And one of them is her strength. She starts to lose her strength. But also, too, it's like, you know, maybe she loses like her intelligence or her empathy or her compassion and that kind of stuff, too, because she honestly doesn't care that this Steve is taking over. Like, and she has no qualms about it whatsoever. And I think that might be that can be excused as part of the curse.
And, you know, maybe that's why like gay men go to Puerto Vallarta understanding that there's a pandemic, that they could catch COVID and die. Mm-hmm. And part of it is they're just so horny, just like Wonder Woman, that they're willing to wreck the world and wreck their lives just for some good dick. Mm-hmm.
Well, people are so isolated these days, you know, and they just want that companionship too, you know.
Listen, you know, you're going to do a lot of crazy shit if you could, if
you know, and luckily, I mean, we make it seem like it was a huge, giant turnout. And I don't really think that there was a lot of people that went, really, when you think about it. Not like other years. You know, just from seeing like photos, I wouldn't say even 1,000 people went.
I wouldn't say even 500 people went.
Yeah,
but,
so I wouldn't even say it was that many people. So from what I could see.
And just like that, Sex and the City is back.
Ooh, getting a reboot, but without Kim Cattrall, who is just like, hell no. I will never work with those bitches ever again.
You crazy. Sarah Jessica Parker can go to hell.
Now, I wonder if they came up to her like and were just like a dump truck full of money if she would do it. You know?
I don't think so. It's HBO Max, so you know there's not a lot of money.
There might be some money. I mean, listen, they showed Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Maybe.
And they're premiering a bunch of other stuff coming up soon.
Well, I heard that we have some audio from the first episode.
Oh, yeah? Let's play it.
My planet needs me.
Well, you know, people were asking about it, too. And Sarah Jessica Parker is like, we have other stories to tell. Who knows? You know, I think
without
they just, you know what?
Without
just
Samantha, yeah.
Recast the, you know, character and give it to a black woman. Let's have a black woman be part of it because that's part of the thing. You know, it was in the 90s and it was, you know, it was a different time. And so you could have a TV show where it was just like, you know, these four white women. But nowadays it would seem out of place.
If so your ranking want to make Jennifer Hudson the slut?
No, I think
Jennifer Hudson... Because she was the black Sex in the City lady.
She was. No, I think they need somebody who has a little bit more maturity. You want somebody who's around the same age as these people. You want somebody who's 50. At least 50 years old.
Octavia Spencer.
I did watch Ma over the Christmas break.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Octavia Spencer was the fourth Sex in the City lady.
You know, you just need a slutty black woman.
Who would that be? Azalea Banks and her dead cat?
You know, I don't know, Vivica Fox, Angela Bassett, somebody like that.
Yeah, I could see that happening, mm-hmm. You know. Didn't we see, who was the, there were so many Christmas specials. I feel like there was somebody, Vanessa Williams would be good in that.
She might be, yes.
But she can't be, play like, you know, mean Vanessa Williams. She has to be like horny Vanessa mm-hmm. Williams. Like horny. RuPaul's Drag Race Celebrity Edition, Vanessa Williams.
But horny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that Kim Cattrall, she played a whore in everything, right? She was in Mannequin. She was basically a sex doll in Mannequin. Her first big role that I saw her was in Porky's.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. She got laid in Porky's.
And she was in Star Trek, too. Mm-hmm. And she got fired. She got killed off from the show, allegedly, because she posed nude from the neck up as a Vulcan, but completely naked from the neck down in pumps mm-hmm. on the set of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. And on the deck of the Enterprise.
And Leonard Nimoy found out about it, had the photos destroyed, and had the script rewritten to kill her off.
If anybody knows Kim Cattrall, please ask her if that's true. I want to know if that's true or not.
Well, she's not going to fess up.
She might be like, that was 30 years ago. Hell yeah. Well, Leonard Nimoy was a real jerk to me.
We do know somebody who's friends with mm-hmm. Kim Cattrall.
And we asked him to ask her, and did he?
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm very disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in you.
But that's the, you know. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to, like, rock the boat in that friendship, too.
Why not? It's just a question.
Just be like, hey, did Leonard Nimoy really have you killed off from Star Trek? Because he found naked photos of you in Vulcan drag?
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, well.
You're like, Samantha. No, that's a rumor.
That's
you know,
I don't know. I just think it's a great story. I don't know if it's true or not, but, mm-hmm. but you can like, you know, search for Kim Cattrall mm-hmm. nude Star Trek photos yeah. on the internet and read about it.
And so it'll be a limited series. It'll be one of those things. I don't know how many episodes, 6, 10, but it's not like it's going to go on for years and years and years. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to how they do it because, you know, New York's changed a lot, I think, since Sex and the City was on the TV and women's sexuality has changed. Dating is a lot different.
Yeah, that now that they're non-binary, they have to have a non-binary person on the show.
Well, you know? Maybe.
They'd be like, we're all women. It's like, why are you so mean to me? You know, I'm non-binary. It's they, you know, and maybe that could
and
be like
Cynthia Nixon's character maybe come out as lesbian now
or non-binary. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Do it, Cynthia.
Do it.
Are you a TERF or are you a MILF? I'd rather be a MILF than a TERF. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what that is, Google it. I'm a fan of the terrible Sex and the City movies more than the TV shows. I feel like Sex and the City 2 was almost like a lot of the stuff was borrowed from our podcast at the time. And I was just like sitting in the movie theater and like, we saw that with Curtis Jensen. We're like, have they basically, the writers just been ripping off like ideas from your show? And I was like, I don't know anything about it, but it did feel like somebody had like peeked into my mm-hmm. diary and stolen it and wrote the script of Sex and the City 2 based on like stuff we had talked about.
Well, the guy who did Sex and the City 2, wasn't he the same guy who did Ghostbusters, the second Ghostbusters?
The feminist Ghostbusters?
Yeah. It's just the other Ghostbusters. It's not the feminist one.
The one with the women.
The women.
Because there's two Ghostbusters women, I'm sorry, Ghostbusters movie with the guys. And then the third one was done with
the women,
with Cheetah.
They don't like it being called the Lady Ghostbusters. I'm trying to avoid that.
With Kristen Wiig, mm-hmm. who was foiled once again by her old arch nemesis, acting.
Poor Kristen Wiig being in that movie.
Oh, Kristen Wiig.
Looking like the reject from Cats.
Even Jennifer Hudson was embarrassed for her.
You know, I mean, they could have at least given her a, an animated butt anus, cat butt.
I don't know. With Kristen's wig, it does feel like everything she does is like a prank.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when she was in that, was it? She was on a Lifetime movie
with Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. And it was like, it felt like they were putting it on. Like it,
they were.
It felt like they were making fun of it. And they kill one of our friends, the podcaster whose name is escaping me, but
Brian Safi.
Brian Safi. I wrote to Brian and said, it was my favorite thing I've ever seen him do.
Get murdered.
Get murdered. He was like, fuck you, Fausto. Oh, it was so funny.
He had it coming.
Yeah. So they kill Brian Safi. Kristen Wiig murders Brian Safi in a Lifetime movie. Mm-hmm. That actually did happen.
No, Kristen Wiig doesn't kill
him. Does she
know? No. She's the wife to Will Ferrell.
She's the hero.
Then. And then there's another woman. He's an author, right? And so there's this woman who I think he has sex with. He cheats on her or something like that with this girl. And she comes to stay with them. And she pretends like she's pregnant with his baby, but she's not really pregnant. I mean, it's one level of ridiculousness after another level.
Now, the OG...
And so she's the one who kills Brian Safi.
The OG feminist curmudgeon, Fran Lebowitz, who was a Andy Warhol superstar, wrote for Interview Magazine. Mm-hmm. She was a regular on David Letterman in the classic era. Mm-hmm. And, she laid the foundation for Paula Poundstone, Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres, Tig Notaro... Like all these comedians.
Curmudgeons.
You know, women who hate things, and we love them for the things they hate.
Well, you know, she was an author, and she wrote things, and she was certainly on all the talk show circuits when we were growing up as a kid, and she wrote for Interview Magazine. Now, I don't think she would call herself a Warhol superstar, because those were the people like that were in the movies, I think. But she was friends with a lot of people, like Candy Darling, all those people. I would
associate her with the scene, you know. Mm-hmm. She certainly was no Valerie Solanas, but she'd also like Valerie Solanas didn't have a very high opinion of Andy Warhol.
No, she didn't really like Andy, and she's like, and Andy didn't really like me. And like that was the thing. And I guess when she first interviewed for the job, she took the elevator up and she knocked on the door and they're like, "Who's there?" And she's like, "Valerie Solanas." And he's just like, he opened the door anyway, and, you know, she ended up getting the job and wrote for them for quite a number of years, but, you know, it said that she never really got along with Andy, didn't like Andy, and in one interview, she said that I didn't like him. Part of the reason was because, like, everybody around him, you know, he kind of used them and spit them out. A lot of them ended up dying, hooked on drugs, and just, they came to bad ends, you know?
Well, you know, that's kind of what people say about RuPaul, too. You know, it's like that the RuPaul's Drag Race machine is kind of like Andy Warhol's factory, that it's turning people who are down and out into entertainers or celebrities and giving them careers, but it doesn't really like prepare them for the success that they face. Mm-hmm.
And is that like, their responsibility, though?
Really? I don't think it's their responsibility, you know, and I'm glad that RuPaul and Andy Warhol do what they do, you know, and it makes the world a more interesting place. And,
well, Andy's not doing much anymore.
Well, but I mean, in the past, I would say, like, definitely RuPaul's Drag Race has that similar cultural space that Andy Warhol's projects did. Mm. So, you know, in terms of Fran Lebowitz pretended it's a city on Netflix, I think it's like a beautiful engineered film because it has no background music at all. And I'm background music in YouTube videos drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like one of my pet peeves. Like you're watching a cooking video and it's like bloop, 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 bloop in the background. Mm-hmm. And you're like, would you please turn off the stereo while I'm watching this video? Oh, it's the music is in the video.
So pretend it's a city, you know, it's on Netflix now. I think it's, what is it? 6 or 7 parts or something?
About 7 episodes.
Episodes are like a half an hour each or something like that. So, you know, you're looking at 3 hours and basically it's her talking to Martin Scorsese, her talking to Alec Baldwin or to Spike Lee. And it's interesting because it's kind of like it's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of talking about newspapers being in the city, newspapers everywhere, talking about cab drivers and this kind of situation, being a cab driver, that kind of cab driver living here in this, you know, in the 70s, buying an apartment. And it's like the same things over and over and over again.
But in a lot of ways, like Fran Lebowitz was kind of a pioneer in that curmudgeon space is kind of what evolved into podcasting, too. You know, and it's like, you know, what podcast is a lot of ways. It's this hybrid of reality television, cable access shows, you know,
talk radio,
blogging, and at the same time, it is a space for a lot of people to express their, you know, crankiness, things they love or don't love. And we love the people for not liking things as much as we love them for do liking things. And I think Fran Lebowitz, you know, as a feminist, as a woman, as a pioneer in journalism, it's really great to sort of rediscover her again. Cause when I was a kid, you know, like I didn't get a lot of her jokes or humor, watching David Letterman. I was just like, who's this lesbian on television? You
know? Did she read as a lesbian too back then?
Yeah, I totally. Well,
cause I feel like a mannish she wasn't woman. Out, right?
Yeah, she wasn't out, but she was a mannish woman who was just like, you didn't see her dating men.
You
know? And she'd go there and she's like smoking. How's it going? You know, she's the original like Yenta. Judge Judy, where would Judge Judy be without Fran Lebowitz? You know, she's just like this, like, you know, she
tough talking,
you know, New Yorker,
intelligent,
who suffers no fools.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I started reading her, her famous essay, you know, about talking, giving advice to teens, where we get that, like, what is it? Think before you talk, read before you think.
Yes.
And you know, public libraries love to have that quote up, but if you read the rest of it, it's very regressive. It's like telling young people, like, you don't know shit, and you should listen to what old people have to say, because you're young and you're stupid.
Well, I it's weird that you have that bent on it, because, like, I view it from a different kind of thing. Basically, you know, the quote is, you know, read the quote, because you have it right in front of you, right? And so it's this idea that, you're going to read it?
Why? Say what you're going to say.
So the idea is, like, you know, she says, you know, think before you speak and then read before you think. And she goes, you know, and before you confront your parents at the dinner table with your new progressive ideas, while you're eating this rib roast, you know, think about that, you know, because, like, here you are, you know. And I think for her being like a closeted lesbian at the time, you know, she's talking to young kids that are just like, hey, I'm gay or something, or I have these ideas. You know, she probably lived in New York in the 70s and knew kids who were thrown out of their house for espousing new ideas to their parents. So she's just kind of like, you know, chill on it. You know, these people are providing a home for you. And yes, of course, you want to speak your mind. But, you know, there might be consequences to that.
Well, we've all had, you know, negative exchanges with people who are like, feel like just because they have a platform or have a very strong opinion that they're right about something, regardless of their age. And, you know, I feel like, I mean, if you read the thing, Tips for Teens, it does come across as like the comic book guy wrote it.
But you're also looking at something that was written in the 70s or 80s,
so, right? Here's the full quote.
Okay.
And I'll read it as comic book guy. Think before you speak. Read before you think. This will give you something to think about that you didn't make up yourself. A wise move at any age, but most especially at 17, when you are in the greatest danger of coming to annoying conclusions. Try to derive some comfort from the knowledge that if your guidance counselor were working up to his potential, he wouldn't still be in high school. Take that, youth of America. You know,
how was that message is something that we should have, like, more and more. Like, there's all these people out here who are just like, I have these ideas, these conspiracy theories. It's just like, maybe if you know, that are doing their research on YouTube and just reading one thing and like, that's it. I've made up my mind.
She's also encouraging people not to give a shit about algebra.
Really?
She says, stand firm in your refusal to remain conscious during algebra. In real life, I assure you, there is no such thing as algebra. And I'm like, shut up, Fran
Lebowitz.
Algebra
is solving for X. It's solving for that mystery. It teaches the brain to think critically.
Yeah. So,
she's wrong about that.
Listen, Fran Lebowitz did the best.
I mean, do you need algebra to think critically? No. But does it help? Probably.
Fran Lebowitz did the best she could with what she had.
That's right.
And, you know, somebody wrote, like, fan fiction
of
Sex in the City. And Fran Lebowitz being the new Samantha.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Which is really good. So here they're going, if you don't ask me, if you don't ask, mind me asking, how did you know Samantha?
If I'm being completely honest, I saw a line of 300 men trying to get in here and assumed Brooks Brothers was having a sale. I was going to get a new jacket.
Because Fran wears men's clothing.
Yeah, she likes
apparently,
to,
right?
Brooks Brothers, specifically. Brooks Brothers is the proto Abercrombie & Fitch. Or no, that's Ralph Lauren polo line, you know.
Well, Brooks Brothers is a very old and well-established men's clothier.
So they're like, so are you a lesbian or what? It's like, my love life, I'll tell you what I love. I watch a tourist get hit by a city bike on 57th Street. This, to me, was very pleasurable.
This is from the fan fiction?
Yeah, that's from the fan fiction. Mm. So, you know, I say get Fran Lebowitz to replace Samantha.
Does she like Cosmopolitans, though?
I don't think she drinks alcohol. She drinks coffee. Iced coffee. Just like me.
Oh.
Maybe I'm Fran Lebowitz. I don't like things, too. Where's my movie, goddammit? Oh, yeah, Cookie with Drag Queens. Two of them coming out soon.
Coming soon. This time for real, right?
We'll see. You know, we've been like...
It's in the final stages
of editing. It's in the final stages. I'm like,
with
you know...
With Disasterina and Vivacious.
Yeah, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good. I'm in drag in both of them.
I'm in drag,
as if
too.
As if you haven't suffered enough.
Oh.
Yeah, this will be like the things you like about RuPaul's Drag Race with all the things you don't like about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Like what?
Like, you know, sending half of the cast home in the first episode. I thought that was so mean.
Well, they didn't
mean.
Really go home.
It was so cruel. It was so mean. And RuPaul's just like, eh, whatever.
I think that they did that because that way they could divide the production. And so they could send one half to the crew, one half there. They probably cut out maybe a week or two of production time, which could be like $1 million. Yeah. You know?
They could have just started RuPaul, with episode two. They didn't have to do it.
And
that
then
way.
RuPaul's like, because I think they did both of those runways for the two different crews. I think they did them in the same day. She just changed her outfit and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, because she's wearing the same wig
in looks
episode
like it, right?
two and episode one.
Or three.
Three, right? yeah. Like, I think she never changed her wig.
So, you know, maybe they filmed all that in a day.
And then there's one drag queen that doesn't wear wigs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like looking at her like,
She's like, well, I did bring some wigs.
But he's cute out of drag.
He's cute out of drag.
Finally, a rude girl that you can fuck.
There's been a few over the years.
There's been a few that are easy on the eyes, but this one is definitely, you know, has a ball. I mean, Milk is, you know, a thirst trap. Mm. I think Milk looks better now than he did back in the day when he was on Drag Race. But this one is also, there's a lot of athletes on this season. Like, there's a girl from Chicago who's a figure skater.
Denali.
And our gal pal, Kimora Hall, who is taking way too long to get into drag. And I have to say, for fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, that's a recurring dream.
Oh, is it taking too long to get ready?
Yeah. Like, I used to have nightmares about that. Like, I'm trying to get into drag, and they're like, 5 minutes, Fausto.
Well, you know what's so amazing too, because like, you know, Kimora's face is like, it's so like sculptural looking. Yeah, you know what I mean? It has so much depth to it already. You would think they would just be like, slap on a little mascara and some lipstick and you're ready to go.
Yeah, we have Gottmik, who is the first openly trans. Well,
trans male.
Trans male.
Because Peppermint was on the show as it came on, was cast as a trans woman.
Right. And but like, unlike Peppermint, the conversation about their trans identity is front and center in the season, whereas Peppermint really didn't get to discuss.
No, it was definitely discussed.
Was it?
It was discussed when they were doing makeup. It was probably a few episodes in, but yeah, it was definitely discussed. It was discussed with her on her podcast before she even got on the show.
Well, there's a difference between coming here and talking about it and it being like, you know, song lyrics in the song.
Well, also too, it's you know, it was talked about, but again, you know, it's a different era now too. Peppermint was a few seasons ago, and there's been more and more pressure on RuPaul's Drag Race to cast trans people on the show. And you know, so they have a man now, but what really are people are pushing for is a trans woman with breasts. They want to see somebody who has gone through some kind of physical transition.
And, you know, I think part of it is that why I had such a problem with the first episode is we really didn't get to know the drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with episodes 2 and 3, we start to understand, you know, we start to bond with them and care for them because we now know their quirks.
Yes. So it's much more enjoyable for us to see them go home now. Because we're like, hey, I know you. Later, bitch.
Well, Rosé, who's a ginger drag queen. Mm-hmm. Tamisha Iman, who's the mother of the drag queen who was the Wonder Woman who dropped from the ceiling.
Tandy Iman.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Joey J is the probably the, I would say, one of the most attractive drag queens to be on Drag Race, who will be going home soon if she doesn't get any wigs on her head. Did you pack any wigs?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go buy wigs if once you get on Drag Race if
probably
you forgot to bring
not.
Them? So you're
but,
fucked.
They can take Kimora Halls when she goes home.
Oh, my God.
If she goes home.
There were rumors that she got Kamara Hall does, Harley.
Yeah, yeah. Kimora Halls, like, wigs. She does a lot of wigs here in town, and her wigs and are just... the ones that I've seen her wear, are they're gorgeous, and they're enormous. I mean, they're like... the size of a small fat child. Like, they're big.
They make Lady Bunny look tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia Lux, Simone, Elliot with two T's, Lala Ree, Tina Burner. Tina Burner is being compared a lot to Sherry Pie. Mm-hmm. Which
and
is
she
not
is
fair.
Not like that. She actually issued a statement. She's just like, please do not compare me to Sherry Pie. I am nothing like Sherry Pie. It's evil. It's rude. It's mean for you to do that. I don't, you know, try and get guys to, you know, do things.
Well, she used to be lovers with that British talk show host.
Graham Norton?
Graham Norton, yeah.
Really? I didn't know that. Are you sure?
Yes, ma'am. I got the receipts to prove it. Yeah, there's a lot of photos of them on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Candy Muse, she's a Dominican drag queen. She's, I guess she's...
People are beginning to love to hate her.
Yeah, so, you know, nothing. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Mm-hmm. And just like that, RuPaul's Drag Race is on the air again.
You know what I thought was kind of weird, too? Because, you know, RuPaul, of course, looks stunning again. Raven, season 2 runner-up, does the makeup for her, and she looks fabulous. But, you know, there was something like it was a while ago, and Raven did a Facebook video or Instagram video, and he was really railing on Greta Thunberg at the time. Thunberg,
kinda
right?
Kind of didn't make any sense.
Didn't
why.
Make any sense. Like, he was mad at who, you know... Greta's just turning 18 right now, right? Yeah. So, you know, she kind of hit fame at 15, 16 years old. She's, I think, somewhere on the spectrum. And, you know, she's speaking out. She's like, you guys, this planet's going to hell. Let's take care of it, that kind of thing. And he was just so kind of like bitchy and cunty
and
towards her
about
and
it.
Angry about her. And I was just like, it never really sat well. I'm like, why is this, you know, 40-year-old man coming after this 18-year-old girl who's just trying to save the world? And then I got to thinking, like, that happened before the whole fracking thing came out with RuPaul. And I wonder if he's doing his makeup on RuPaul, and then RuPaul's just like, that Greta Thunberg, she's going to ruin it for me. And he's just like, don't worry, Ru, I'll cover for you, and I'll just tell everybody what a terrible person Greta is.
As if she knows, like, anything about Greta Thunberg.
Well, I mean, Greta was all over the news. All you have to do is read one or two articles, and you pretty much know her whole message. But, you know, people criticize Greta because they're like, yeah, okay, you were first class in a train, or you flew on a plane, so what are you doing for the environment? Yeah. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, you spent money. What are you doing for the environment?
And so now I kind of see that maybe in a different light. Who knows?
Well, it's good to be back, folks.
It's good to be back. We lost a few people over the break, too.
We did.
Don Wells from Gilligan's Island.
My favorite pot advocate.
Yes.
Marijuana advocate.
She was a big marijuana for decades,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Didn't she get busted for pot?
She got arrested for pot marijuana possession, yeah.
Tanya Roberts, who is one of the Charlie's Angels, she died and then didn't die and then died again. It was kind of strange.
She died just to not embarrass her publicist.
Is that what it was?
She was like, all right, I'm going to go now. Mm-hmm.
Siegfried from Siegfried and Roy died.
So now both Siegfried and Roy are in heaven. Mm-hmm.
Phil Spector just died in jail, right?
Yeah, he was a pioneer in music.
The Wall of Sound.
Created. He was an audio engineer, music producer who really changed how music was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people who may not understand what the Wall of Sound is, just think of that as the the dense feel of music that we have today, especially like in the 1960s, compared to like when you listen to Benny Goodman's orchestra sounding really light and tinny. He kind of helped to advance the art of audio engineering. But in later years, he flipped his lid and became this sort of like violent, crazy person.
Yeah. Darlene Love, you know, the singer was recently interviewed for Rolling Stone about her relationship with him. And, you know, she says she's sad that he's dead. She's sad that he ended up in the way he is, but she has not had a good relationship with him in a long time. He tried to prevent her from getting into the Hall of Fame. They worked together. He gave her the last name Love. She changed the name. Became Darlene Love, but then she goes, he took a trip to London, and when he came back, there was something about him. He was just changed. He was different. I hear stories of him bringing like guns into the recording studio. I had to sue him. Like, she's like, it was not a good relationship. And so, but you know, she's regretful that, that he turned out the way that he turned out. Cause I mean, he was a talented human being.
God, it sounds like a scene from Kill Bill or something, coming back with
we
guns.
We just watched Kill Bill the other day, and it was kind of interesting because I'm like, you know, this is a good movie to watch right about now because, you know, and the movie Kill Bill, you know, she almost gets killed, and then she goes into a coma for 4 years, and then comes out and then wants revenge, and I kind of feel like we're all her right now, which is like 4 years, we're finally waking up from this, you know, this horrible coma we've been in.
Your mouth to God's ears, you know, if we don't address the fascism that we almost succumb to.
Well, and I, from
where we're going to face it again.
And people are pressing Joe Biden on this. He's like, listen, when we had 9/11, we got Homeland Security. And what we're looking at now is we are looking at fascism married to racism and disinformation. And like, these are like three big things that we as a society need to contend with and we need to deal with.
We can't move forward without.
No, it's going to be impossible to move forward.
Yeah. We're here. We're going to do our part.
Yes.
You know, like, I feel like I'm like, America, we need you to be a voice for sanity, for unity, for temperance. You know, it's like if you feel. If you're fighting with somebody on social media, no matter how justified that fight may be, just remember Facebook is and Twitter are owned by Republicans who make money and rely on communities being divided. And even if that division is justified, ask yourself who's benefiting from that division, you know, and in the long run, in the short term. And it's, I think, you know, it is a very much a divide and conquer tool. So like, use your social media to promote your businesses.
To bring people together.
Bring people together.
But the moment you're fighting with somebody, be like, step back and be like, is this really a good use of my time and energy?
Yeah. And you know, it's not for me to tell people how to live their lives or anything. It's just, that's how I approach it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I think about the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and his wife, Joanne Rogers, who she was also a very accomplished musician herself. In her own right.
They had double pianos, right?
Yeah. In the house. That was not a sexual thing. They instead of fighting with each other, they fought with the piano keys and made beautiful music. And she said Fred was no saint and certainly had his bad days. And he sometimes would use farts as a way of getting like even.
Ooh. Or silent but deadly.
Silent but deadly. He thought farts were hilarious.
Neighbor.
Mr. Rogers farting. She died at the age of 92.
Aww.
It's so nice, you know, to see people coming together and building a life together over their common passions and interests. And, you know, for people right now who are feeling isolated or lonely, no, this is not going to last forever. And there are amazing people out there waiting to meet you. And we're here and we're going to be here throughout the pandemic. We're, you know,
17th season, baby.
I feel like, what is that? The Terminator, the guy who's doing radio.
The what?
In the Terminator movies, the hero, the John Connors, he's a podcaster. Did you know that? In one of the movies, he's like, stay strong and fight the resistance and, you know, listen to my voice. We're going to get through this. And that's basically all we can do here is just be a voice, not just of a resistance, but of...
to uplift, to inspire, to entertain.
To come to thrive. Mm-hmm. We don't want you just to resist. We want you to thrive. We want you to get inspired. We want you to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to enjoy living life and see the sunshine out
and
there.
And I want you to live as long as Betty White, who just served her, celebrated her 99th birthday.
I know. And everybody sees those Betty White posts and they're like, not Betty White. It's like, no, she's still alive.
She's still alive. She's going to live hopefully a few more years. We'll see.
That's amazing.
I know. I mean, she's had a career in television since the 30s.
She has the Guinness Book of World Records title for the longest career in television.
Wow.
She started when she was the Gerber baby.
No. I mean,
but she was really young. Yeah. She was really young when she started her comedy career in television, and she's successfully had, roles in television programs and projects.
Well, I think they said too, it's like her first TV show, they were just on TV live for like 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon. Hours
sound
of
familiar?
Television.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. That's all I can tell you guys today is just, find things to uplift yourself. Focus on doing things. Do whatever it takes to be happy. And, making a chocolate cake makes you happy. Make that chocolate cake.
Well, I made one yesterday and it's so good.
It's so lovely.
I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without you. We wouldn't be here for our 17th season if it weren't for you and the people like you who have continuously supported us over the years. And the best way to support us is to become a Plus member. You can do that at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. We are also on Patreon. You can support us there at patreon.com/feastoffun. Maybe you want to say, hey, you know what? Congratulations. I'm glad you guys are here for your 17th season. I want to make a nice donation. You can do that at feastoffun.com/donate or just, Venmo, Cash App at Feast of Fun.
We even take Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yes, huh?
Honey.
Get it into my wallet.
Yeah, if you want our Bitcoin address, just tweet us or text us or...
Can't you just give it out or you don't know it?
It's EB16592HF4K752XYZ.
Oh, so it's that complicated?
It's a long list of letters and numbers. Yeah, so it's not something you want to read on the air. It's not like bitcoin.com/feastoffun. No, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
But if you know how to send Bitcoin, you can send Bitcoin to us on the Cash App, and we can receive it.
Yeah.
See if it works.
See if it works. Just test it out.
Hit me up, honey.
Send $1. Send $2.
Send me one Bitcoin. People are like, what? Yeah, one Bitcoin was like, when it first started, it was worth $1. And today it's worth $34,000.
One Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Oh, so you only have a portion of a Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Oh.
Everybody has only, if you're retired or whatever, if you're a millionaire, then you have some Bitcoins. But most people have, 0.000 something Bitcoin.
Oh.
Yeah, honey. Yeah. And, we just put, $5 on a Bitcoin like some years back and it grew a little bit, but it was not, made me wish I had put like $50.
We can't retire quite yet.
Yeah. I could even buy a Popeye's fried chicken sandwich with it.
I want one of those. Let's go get one.
All right, folks. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.